Well, welcome everybody to Voice of the Believers Church for a Wednesday night edition. Good to see all the smiling faces. Hallelujah. We're going to take up a tithe and offering. Can you young men come get the buckets, please? Anybody that needs an envelope, raise your hand. And if y'all young men would hand them an envelope, I would thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Let's say it together. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now we know how to get strength, and that's the joy of the Lord. Praise God. That's like praise and worship. Glory to God. My text is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I love that. He loves a cheerful giver. That's why, to me, it's a privilege to give. It's a privilege to give. And he loves a cheerful giver, not one that, God don't want to wring offerings out of nobody. He doesn't want to wring offerings out of anybody. And it shouldn't be done out of necessity. It's still because we're cheerful givers, praise God. We love to give. R.G. Letourneau, he was an inventor on earth-moving industry. And he's one of the most amazing rags to riches stories in America. He began his career in Stockman, California, where his frustrations with his first job moved him to find a more efficient way to move dirt. So he went ahead and started inventing over 300 inventions in different earth-moving, dirt-moving equipment. One was the bulldozer, scrapers of all sorts, dredgers, portable cranes, rollers, dump wagons, bridge spans, logging equipment, mobile sea platforms for oil, exploration, electric wheel, and other many during the World War II era. He produced 70% of the Army's earth-moving machinery. In fact, they were having trouble. This one ship during World War II, they were trying to stay up there and battle against Germany and having trouble to build this one ship. It was taking them a year. He figured out how to turn it, I think it was upside down, and how to build it, and he could do it in a month. He figured out how to do it. And he was getting that wisdom from God. He was giving the wisdom from God. Letourneau felt that he was clearly called to be a businessman for God and spoke as of God as the chairman of his board. That's who his chairman was, God. He said that the money came in faster than he could give it away. He established Letourneau Foundation, channeled 90% of his personal multi-million-dollar salary to Christian endeavors. He was giving 90% of his and living off the 10%, especially the mission fields. Letourneau was convinced that he could not outgive God. He said he would give out. I shoveled it out, he said, and God has a bigger shovel. He just kept shoveling it back to him, praise God. And he ended up starting Letourneau University down in Longview, Texas, praise God, which is still established today. And a lot of his inventions are still in working today, praise God. So God can use anybody, hallelujah. And he was a cheerful giver. He loved to give. He loved to give, hallelujah. So let's all pray over those offerings. Father God, you said that we could believe that 30, 60, 100 fold. So, Lord, we're just believing for at least 100 fold. Lord, you said if you can believe, all things possible those to believe. Some believe for 1,000 fold, million, billion fold, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank you for it, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We pour it out, you pour it back on us, Lord. The windows of heaven will open up and pour on us, and not enough room to receive it all. You rebuke the devourer Satan from touching our stuff. And, Lord, we give you all the praise and glory, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Our stuff just naturally lasts, supernaturally, not naturally, it supernaturally lasts by your angels. We lose the ministry spirits of angels to watch over our stuff, and they just keep on lasting, lasting, lasting because we're givers and tithers. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, man, can y'all pick that up? Praise God. Thank you. Pick up them tithes and offering. All right, let's see here. I'm teaching on Sunday. We're going to be gone Monday. We'll have no Monday recovery, no Monday night recovery this Monday. Going to be gone Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Won't be back till later Wednesday night. I got Laura on the hook, hopefully to teach on Wednesday. We don't know yet. I still got to get a hold of her, but I'll let y'all know for sure. And, we'll go from there, praise God. I said something to her about it, and I hadn't got back with her, so that's my, I'll have to get back with her. But I'll let y'all know, praise God. All right, come on, Pastor Monica. Bring the word. Bring the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let the best preacher and teacher come on up.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh.
See, she loves your teaching.
Oh, I can't find my glasses. I just had them. Oh, there they are. Oh, amen. Well, I'm excited. How about y'all? Amen. Good to see everyone. Wednesday night. Full. Had some good pizza. Praise God. Amen. And looks to me like the children and youth are ready to go. Youth and children are released. You guys are released. There you go. Oh, that's so cute. Amen. Well, I'm going to pray. Praise God. Well, Father God, I just thank you, Lord. Your word said to study to show yourself approved, but Lord, just anoint me. Anoint me because we need to hear from you. We want your presence. We want to see you at work in us, Father God. And Lord, I pray that you would give us supernatural understanding because you said when we understand, we would be healed, and we're calling for a healing of our nation, a healing of our families, a healing of our cities. And Father God, I just thank you, Lord, you said you would confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles. So we're expecting to see signs, wonders, and miracles in our schools and in our cities and in our nation and in our families. And Satan, I bind you now from operating against us. You get in Jesus' name. And the church says amen. Amen. Well, this is number two of Can America Be Saved? And this is the last part of my introduction. Then we'll get into some meat. But can America be saved? Well, 1962, prayer was removed from school. But do you know what that means? That means prayer was in the schools when school was started. For decades, it was in there, and it was illegally removed. 1963, the Bible was removed from the schools. That tells me the Bible was in the schools from the beginning, and it was there for decades until it was illegally removed. 1973, abortion was legalized. That tells me it wasn't legal. Since the beginning, it wasn't legal, and they illegally legalized it. Where was the church? Where was the Christians in 1963? 1962 and 1973, because it wasn't my battle. I wasn't born until 1963, and I was 10 in 1973. I didn't even know what abortion was. But between 63 and 73, there was a great move of God called the Jesus Movement. I've heard about it. It began in New York City and just took America by storm. And there was rallies and crusades. Thousands of people were getting born again. Lots of salvations. And they were even having revivals of the Holy Spirit, signs, wonders, and miracles, and all that. But yet, it didn't affect our culture, did it? Abortion was still made legal, didn't it? So what's the point? What was the message of that? The message is it's not enough to just have revival. It's not enough just to get born again. We have to impact our society if it's going to make a difference for our kids, the next generation. So that means the church was asleep, and it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up to the truth. It's time for us to grab hold of ownership for our cities and our schools and our nation. Because you know what happened? This is what happened. What happened was the Christians were told to keep your faith in the church. Keep your faith behind closed doors. Get it in the closet while the others got out of the closet. Right? You know, It has no, and you know, that's when they passed separation of church and state, which it's going to be another later on in my series, because it's not in our Constitution, it's not in our Bill of Rights, but we were convinced that it was in there. And they said, nope, you got to get Christianity out of politics. You got to get it out of the public office, and that's what happened. But you know what? It's time for us to be engaged. It's time, because our nation needs us. We are in a spiritual battle. And guess what? God has made us to be the compass. Not because we're anything great, but because we have this. This is the compass. This is the plumb line. You know, just like when you're making a foundation or building something, you have a level to see if it's straight or not. This is how we know. And God has called the... So you know a Christian is doing their job when they see something and say, hey, that's wrong, it's against the Word of God. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be pointing out the darkness. Amen? That's what he's called us to be. We've called to be leaders that will lead our society, that will lead our cities out of the darkness into the light. This is the call of God, is for us to get out of the closet, to get out of the buildings, and to show them what's true. Amen? And when we do that, we're following the footsteps of our founding fathers. Because this was the message of the Great Awakening. You know, because they looked around at their society, which was crumbling all around them. And, you know, they actually wrote down their sermons. We have a record of what they were being taught. And they published only the very best, because it was expensive to publish anything back then. And so we can look back at their sermons and find out what they were being taught. And they were being taught that this is time to apply the Bible, the Word of God, to every part of life, including our public life. Amen? Because there has to be an awakening of when we say enough is enough. Isn't that true? It's time to take back our schools and our city and our nation. Because it's our watch. It's our generation now. You know, we want history to look back and say, you know, we're free because this generation stood up and did something about it. Isn't that true? Because our country needs us today. Our country is bigger than me. And I'm planning on answering that call for our nation and our country. Because if I'm telling you, if we can't change America, it's not going to be worth living anywhere. Isn't that truth? It's going to be miserable. Where any place where they take God and the Word of God out, it's nothing but misery. It's true. And so it's time that the church did something. You know, I want my future grandchildren to have a better America than I did growing up. You know, I want my future grandchildren saying, you know, I'm thankful that my grandparents did something to make our took a stand on what is right and what is wrong. You know, missionaries been going to Africa for decades. And except for a few spots, most of Africa you can't even tell. Why is that? Well, that's because their emphasis has only been on salvation. They haven't been discipled. They hadn't been taught that there's a spiritual battle. They haven't been equipped. And so they were just easy prey for the enemy. They probably don't even know why all this stuff was happening, right? And so they had no impact on their public life. And we can see the results of that, isn't that true? And see, we need to make disciples. We need to be taught the Word of God. And so my first scripture is going to be Matthew 28:19. And this is Jesus. It's in the red. It's not Monica. And he rose from the dead, and they're about to watch him go up to the clouds, which is how we're going to go up pretty soon, anytime. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, or because of that, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, this message is supposed to change the world. It's supposed to change our hearts, and then it changes the nation. That's how it's supposed to work. You know, that's what our founding fathers, they had to do the same thing. And so those pastors quickly took up that challenge and began and realized, hey, we need to get this apply to our life and not just get saved. We need to be making disciples. We need to be teaching that this is for every person, you know, because this is principles of God, of principles of success, right? If we follow these principles, okay, follow them and do them, we'll select the right person to marry because we're following the principles of God. And if we're married the right person and we're still following the principles, we're going to have a good marriage. And if we're still following principles by the time we have kids and raise them, we're going to be raising them right. Right? And if we're still following, imagine if all of our society and our schools were following the same principles, they wouldn't be taught anything against these principles. Right? And that's the vision, part of the vision that God gave our founding fathers. Because these are principles for success. And so it'd be smart to follow it, I think. Amen? Amen. So later on in this series, we're going to look at some of their sermons that they wrote and compare it to what we're learning now and see what the difference is. So we're going to explore some of that. But for right now, I just want to go over what we can do now, what we're learning. Because, you know, like we need to be studying the birth certificate of our nation, which is the Declaration of Independence. That's the birth certificate. And then we need to be studying the Bill of Rights, the original first 10. And then I really like the Anti-Federalist Papers, because Patrick Henry wrote that, and he was so right on. They knew what would happen, because this is not something new. Anytime, you know, too much power will always corrupt, because that's our nature. It's human nature. Amen? But that's later on. And so we need to be getting ready to learn and educate ourselves on the vision that God has for us. Because right now, our politicians, our representatives aren't even listening to us, both sides. They're just totally ignoring us. But I'll tell you, our voice is being heard, because that's why they're angry. That's why they're calling us domestic terrorists, because we're having an impact. You know, in fact, 2012, they called it the Tea Party Rebellion. They were upset about it. That's okay. We're going to win, because we're not going to give up. I want to look at Proverbs 1. And this is talking about the wisdom of God. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. This is wisdom that God is speaking to us through Solomon by the Holy Spirit. And so he's talking about the wisdom and principles of God. And what is the purpose? It's to teach people wisdom and discipline. Isn't that good? What's wrong with that? To help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. We want to be successful, don't we? To help them to do what is right, just, and fair. I think that's still good, isn't it? Let me go to the next page. These proverbs will give insight to the simple. Thank God, I needed it. You know, knowledge and discernment to the young. It's made for our children. Let the wise, even for wise people, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables. It's for everyone. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. I think it'd be good for children to be taught that. Don't you think it'd be good? It'd be good as a whole society. We'd all be a lot happier, wouldn't we? What you learn from them will crown you with grace. And be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. That's pretty good advice. Right? They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Right? That's a good success advice right there. Stay far away from their past. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. Right? But these people set an ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. They sell out and do this stuff for money because they don't want to work the honest way. Amen. It robs them of life. They get robbed. Wisdom shouts in the streets. God wants the word out in public. That's what our founding fathers saw. Isn't that true? It shouts in the street. She cries out in the public square. Why? Because she's calling to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. God wants everyone to hear his wisdom. Isn't that good? Because he loves us. How long, you simpletons, will you insist? And I was one of them. Will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. This is the Spirit of God talking. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. Isn't that wonderful? I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction. So I will laugh when you're in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you. Like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me, for they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way. That's sad. That's sad. The bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. This is life and death. That's why it's so important to get it out into the schools and into the public square. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. It'll make a difference. It makes a difference to us as individuals, as families, because the blessing's even supposed to come to our cities. If you look at Deuteronomy 28, it's supposed to even be on our cities. And he even talks about how he wants a whole nation to follow after God so the nation can be blessed. Amen. You know, when we see a foundation of a house crumbling, and we had some foundation problems before, we don't mess around with the bed cover. We don't try and worry about painting the walls. We got to get it fixed so the house don't fall in. Isn't that true? This is We have got to get serious about this. Let's look at Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Or let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We must not get weary in doing good for our nation. We cannot give up. I'll tell you, this message is for a time such as this. And I'm going to show you later on. You know, he said that this message is good all the way until the end. And later on in the series, I'll show more of it. But it's not going to just stop all of a sudden because we're in the last days. It was the last days ever since Pentecost. Amen. And so we're to hang in there while we're learning. While we're learning, we're getting educated, and then we pray. We continue to speak the blessing over our nation, the promises of God. We can continue to vote. Just do what we can, get involved while we learn. We're going to get educated because we have to get a vision of what it's supposed to look like. Because this is not the first time that our nation has been in trouble. The truth is, it's a miracle we're still free. I thank God. It's a miracle, really, that we are still free. And I know they're probably frustrated. You know, back in the 1830s and 1840s, Congress was consistently and getting aggressive about violating the inalienable rights of all people. And we'll talk more about what inalienable means later on in the series. But most of it was for slavery. They did not want to let go of slavery. In fact, they were getting violent about it. They were having mobs, burning down people's businesses because they were speaking out against slavery. They were kidnapping people, killing people over slavery. It reminds me of abortion, really. They were getting violent just for because we wanted to end slavery. Well, John Quincy Adams got involved in Congress because of this. And many times he was the only voice against slavery at that time. But he was there for 17 years fighting to get rid of slavery. And sometimes he was standing completely alone. Well, he would not give up, and he would not back down. And one day someone asked him why he would do this. And this is what he said. I wrote it down. He said, "The duty is ours, but the results are God's." You know, we know what's right and wrong if we're in the Word of God. And if we're the only voice for right, we have to still speak right. Right? Just because everyone else is wrong, we still have to be the light in the darkness. Because then we'll be part of the problem. No, we are to be part of the solution. Isn't that true? And the results are God's. Because God will stand with us. Now, there's three things I want us to remember. Three things that we want to remember. One, nothing takes God by surprise. He knows where we're at. And he's raising up the right people at the right time for the right thing. Isn't that good? Two, God is more concerned how we're going to respond than the situation. And three, all things will work together for the good of those who love him. And if we love him, we're not going to compromise. We're going to stick with his word. Amen? It will work out good. I'm getting excited. Amen. You know, these principles will work every time they're applied. Every time they apply, they will work. But some people are choosing to ignore those principles. But just because they're ignoring it doesn't mean we walk away from it. We're still going to get the good results. Amen? So just because everyone else is going the wrong way, we don't back off. We get more engaged. You know, when the enemy pushes, we push back. That's how we need to push harder, in fact. So we need to be electing Christians who are living by the Word of God. Anyone can say they're Christian, right? But we got to look at their fruit. We've got to look at their actions. Amen. And that need includes locally. Local is important because that's where they're going to carry out their purposes. You know, city council, school board, sheriffs, like the county, make sure that they have the fruit of a Christian, the character of a Christian. They're honest. They're moral, integrity. They respect other people. They care about other people, not just money. Good people to be our state representatives and for judges. You know, every seat, this is very important, local, state, and federal, has to be good people that are living by the Word of God because it's for our safety. And as we get more engaged, we need to make sure our neighbors are engaged. I know it's kind of touchy. Make sure they're registered to vote and try to educate them on what their rights are as Americans. I'm going to see if I can find copies of the original 10 Bill of Rights and Declaration of Independence and all that. I'm going to see if I can make copies that we can hand out. That'll help. Because the more people we get involved and educated, the better it will be. Amen? Because we are to choose God-fearing leaders. Because if they're, you know, right? That's so true. And so above all, we are to teach ourselves and educate ourselves. And we need to learn how to think and act biblically. We got to think like God thinks and act like God wants us to act. Amen? What are we doing? We're getting ourselves into position for our nation to be healed, for our families to be healed, our cities to be healed. I'm excited. So it has to start with us. And I want us to look at this one scripture. I found this by accident this morning. I had to redo my teaching a little bit. But it's Psalms 46, verse 1. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Now, in this verse, two things. God, in the Jewish culture, they never call him by his name. They always said, the name. But in that word trouble, in the Jewish, it actually means when your back is pressed against the wall. Or it also means tribulation, great tribulation. So he's saying here that our God, the Creator God, is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of great tribulation. Isn't that good? And then verse 7. Verse 7 says this. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Now, the Lord of heaven's armies actually means, in the Jewish, is the God of legions of armies. And what that means is if you're in trouble and you're calling on him and you belong to him, he will send an army to help you. It may be angelic. It may be someone else that's responding to him. And it made me think of George Washington and our founding fathers, because they prayed. They prayed through the war. They talked about it afterwards, and God would send help. One time it was some French people. Another time it was some Indians, but God made sure they had help. Sometimes he would send clouds so the enemy couldn't see them. It was amazing, and we're going to look at some of that. And so that's our promise for us. You and me and our nation. Because remember, our nation has a covenant with God. Amen. And so I had to add that in when I heard that. And so what do? We need a change of position. We need to change from victim to victor, right? From a bystander to an active participant. And it starts with us. Now, I made copies of something because it begins with us. It begins with us making a commitment to God that we're going to live by his principles, because this is principles that he gave us so we can live successful. And so I have this. I typed it up, and I'm going to lay it out. And it's a prayer of dedication, consecration, and submission. And so if you agree with it, you know, if you want, I strongly encourage you to sign it and date it, maybe put it in your Bible. You know, maybe you can hand it out, whatever you want to do with it. But I felt led to make copies of it and make it available. So it begins with us as individuals, and then it's going to move forward. and we are to never give up. Amen. Isn't that good news? Amen. Well, let's pray. Well, Father God, we come before you as your people, Lord, your people, and we strongly, together, believe you when you said, Lord, that if my people who are called by your name would seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, you would hear us, you would forgive us, and you would heal our land. And Lord, we've done that, and we're standing on that. We're going to continue to do it and continue to stand. And Lord, we're going to educate ourselves. We consecrate ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you. And I thank you, Lord, that we are spotless and without. We're blameless and spotless because of the blood of the Lamb. And we thank you for that, Lord, that we are ready for you to come get us. But in the meantime, we're going to answer the call to our nation, Father God. And I know, Lord, that you're going to stand with us because it's your will for us to get the word of God out in the streets, out in our schools to our children, and as a nation to serve you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we study this, you're going to give us revelation, you're going to give us understanding, and you're going to teach us everything we need so we can get the vision that we need to win this, because this is a spiritual battle and we intend to win. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to help us win this battle. In Jesus' name, Father God. And Lord, I pray that if there's any of you that are listening to this message, either on the internet, voiceofbelieverschurch.org, or got a CD, and you're not sure if you're saved. You need to be saved. We're all born in darkness. We were all born into sin, and Jesus is the only way out. He's the only way out. But guess what? He paid the price for you and me. He paid the penalty that we couldn't pay, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He's at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you right now. And so if you don't know where you're going to go if you die, you need Jesus. And all you have to do is ask him into your heart. Ask him to forgive you, and he'll say, yes, I already did. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior, and he will. He'll give you a brand new life. And then find you a good church, get in the Word of God, and let him lead you out of darkness into the light. And if you made that decision, or if you have any prayer requests, we'd love to hear from you. We're also on Facebook, Voice of Believers Church. And so, Lord, I just release us now, full of your word, full of your spirit, and full of the promises of the blessing. You said, Lord, we're blessed going in and blessed going out. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, and blessed wherever we go, because you go wherever we go, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that no sickness or disease shall come to our dwelling, but you'll satisfy us with a long life and show us your salvation. I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I thank you that we're going above and not beneath. We're going on top and not under. And Lord, I pray as we leave here, you go with us and help us, Lord, to tell everyone the truth, Lord, that Jesus loves them and came to set us free. And all who agree say amen in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone needs prayer, we can pray. I'm done in time.